Good morning, everyone. We're going to read God's Word together. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through to 26. Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region.
Well, there's moments in life where things completely change. A flip of the script. And that for me happened around 2 years ago when I came to work full time at church. And I'm nearly done now. I've got 1 month left, which is crazy. But right before that, I had a few different jobs after I left school. I started as a PT, kind of training people. And I decided, oh, doesn't really work for me. So I took a step up in the world and I became a Subway sandwich artist for a year, which was great fun. Once again, didn't quite work for me. So I went to work for Reese Plumbing Centers, and I worked there for quite a while, and then the big kind of change came, the flip of the script for me, where I came to work here at Christ Central. And it was unexpected in the sense of, had you gone back 5 years ago, kind of when I finished school, and said, "Hey Luke, in just a few years you'll go from tradies and pipes to youth and Friday nights," I would have told you to pull your head in that sense. But we all have moments like that where things change, you know, the big kind of life changes. Maybe you move houses, you move states, you start a family. I think of us in Queensland here, maybe it's a farmer after a long drought when the rain comes and falls. Or maybe just 2 weeks ago when we took our masks off after what seemed like forever wearing them. And we see Jesus has two moments just like that in here. There's someone healed, someone raised to life. And that's what we'll be looking at today. Two moments where the script is flipped. So let's check that out now, starting at verse 18, where it says, "While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, 'My daughter has just died, but come and put your hands on her and she will live.' And Jesus got up and went with them, and so did his disciples." We see this picture of a synagogue leader kneeling in front of Jesus, pleading with him to bring his daughter back to life. And this was unexpected. See, by this stage in his life, these leaders were against him. And we see this back in verse 3. He had forgiven a man of his sin, and the teachers of the law, they said back to him, "This fellow is blaspheming." So they weren't a fan of what Jesus was doing. And we'll keep seeing this as we go through Matthew. Jesus clashes with the leaders of the church. There's a brewing hatred of Jesus from these leaders. Yet the synagogue leader has come to ask him for help. Why? Well, there's a couple of different theories about this. Theory number one. See, some people think he was desperate. He's on his knees in the dust. He's begging for Jesus' help. His daughter has just died. Desperation. See, when a child is sick, you do anything to help them. Maybe you've seen that for yourself. You go overseas for some treatment. You try something brand new that's only just come to the market. I had a friend once who had a complex illness, and her and her mum went overseas for 1 year to go to a special place to get fixed up. You do anything to help save your child. Maybe it is desperation. But in this theory too, the synagogue leader has faith in Jesus' power and who he says he is. See, desperation wasn't going to bring back his daughter. Death is final. If he didn't believe Jesus had the power to bring his daughter back to life, he wouldn't be begging at his feet. See, this synagogue leader believes Jesus can do incredible things. And we know Jesus also responds to faith. Back in Matthew chapter 8, there's the Roman centurion, and he's healed his servant. The man with leprosy, he healed him. There's a paralyzed man, he walks. He healed them when they showed faith in him. Jesus values faith. He wasn't just a wandering healer. He called people to have faith in him. And then Jesus responds to faith again in verse 19 by going with this man. Hey, just before we jump into this next section, I want to tell you guys a story. So a few weeks back, I came down sick, probably man flu, and I fought it and I battled it and I won. But I came out of it with a lingering cough. It's not the right time to have a cough. You know, you kind of cough and people look at you with these questioning eyes. Does this guy have COVID? Stay away from me in that sense. After about one day, I was sick of it. But what we read next in Matthew shows a much longer time frame of being sick. Check out verse 20. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. 12 years. So your one-day cough, that is nothing. Being sick for 12 years means you first got sick just as we came out of the global financial crisis, 2009, back when swine flu was our biggest health concern. See, what this woman went through wasn't easy. She was bleeding for 12 straight years, and you can only imagine how difficult that would be, not just with the pain and how uncomfortable, but also with what it meant for her social status. So you read back in the Old Testament that during the 7-day period of bleeding, a woman is unclean. And anyone who touches her would be unclean. And this is believed it's what the kind of bleeding that she had was. So for the last 12 years, she's been exiled and rejected. But then Jesus flips the script here. This has been the way of life for her for 12 years. There's been no change, no hope of healing until now. And verse 21 and 22 tell us of this awesome moment with her and Jesus. 21 said, she said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. And Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. See, what a life-changing moment that would have been. We speak of life-changing moments now. Maybe it's your first car when you have your first kid. You start a new job. You move somewhere else. They're all big moments, but there's something breathtaking about this. And the woman was healed at that moment. It's a complete flip of the script. 12 years living in exile, transformed by Jesus in that instant. It's a picture of Jesus' healing power, which points towards a bigger, vastly more breathtaking moment of healing on the cross. Now let's keep moving on with his journey. Take a look at verse 23 with me. It says, when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. See, this funeral is different to the ones you might see today. There's a noisy crowd. They're in a house. There's musicians there. They might have even hired professional mourners, people the Jewish people hired to wail at their funerals. And you compare that to our funerals. Maybe it's at a church or by a graveside. There's close family and friends. It's quiet. It's different. But regardless of how a funeral looks, there's always one thing that they share. Funerals come after someone has died. There's a finality to it. See, death is the end. Behind all the noise and the instruments was the pain that a little girl had passed away. There's a father's loss, a community's grief. It's a life taken too soon. And then in all the emotion and the commotion of this moment, they hear Jesus say, go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep. And the crowd laughed. What a strange reaction. See, I've got a question for you. Who's here has been so shocked by something that they laughed? Maybe it's the timing of it. It was kind of unexpected, random. You know, like a spider falls and you go, oh, crikey, and you have a bit of a laugh because of the fear in that moment. But it's a weird reaction. I've been watching these clips recently where wives tell their husbands that they're pregnant and the husband just sits there and laughs in shock, in the shock of the moment. The crowd laughed. Not because it was funny, but because what Jesus said was ludicrous. They're at a funeral. Of course the girl is dead. See, there's a sense that Jesus has gone too far. See, healing people is one thing, but bringing them back from the dead? No. See, death is final. And then Jesus even tells them to go away. The funeral is over. In fact, the funeral is pointless because she's not dead. She's asleep. And Jesus' intention here, it wasn't to shock or offend people. He doesn't think the girl is asleep here. The girl is dead. But he knows that this death isn't final. See, it's the grandest flip of the script you can think of. Death is inevitable. See, once someone dies, there's no going back, but Jesus does the impossible. Let's read from verse 25 there, where it tells us about this. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. This is unheard of. See, death is final. And I've been blessed myself to not have lost too many people, but I know there's people here who have lost someone that they care about, and you felt that grief, you felt that loss. And there's a part of you which desperately wishes that death wasn't final, but there's an acceptance that it is. Accept in this moment. See, Jesus raised the girl back to life. We should be awestruck by Jesus. See, I think our eyes sometimes glaze over when we hear about Jesus' healing power. You know, we've got doctors and you hear something on my leprosy and go, hey, we've actually got a cure for that. Our modern kind of medicine sometimes has us unfazed by Jesus' power. But you can't help but stand in amazement at Jesus raising a girl back to life. It's a script completely flipped by Jesus. And the amazing thing about this moment is it's just a shadow of what Jesus is going to do. So we've just read about these two moments in his life, but I think it's helpful to understand why Matthew has put them in here. See, Matthew has the purpose of showing us Jesus, the Messiah, the one sent by God. And we see a bit of this back in Matthew 8, verse 17, where he claims after Jesus has healed many people, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases. But we get a clearer picture later on in Matthew when John the Baptist asks if Jesus is the Messiah. And then Jesus responds with something awesome. He says, the blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. See, Matthew is grouping together Jesus' qualifications as the Messiah. We're being shown the core of the gospel. Jesus, the Son of God. So now that that's clear in your minds, I want to ask you guys to do something for me. Can you close one of your eyes and then leaving your other eye open, put your hand over it? Just like this. Close one of your eyes, other eye open, put your hand over. It's not to make you guys just look funny, but what can you see? Maybe you can see a couple of creases, some light shining through the gaps, but you can't really make out what's in front of you. It's too dark. Now move your hand 30 centimeters away from your eye. Ah, see, there you go. You got fingers and you got some knuckles, some veins and some calluses. It's a hand, clear as day. Now that you can see the bigger picture, you know what it is. So why would I ask you to do that? Well, I want to show you that when you look too closely at something, you lose what's really in front of you. And the same thing can happen when we read about Jesus. There's these stories of power, and they're amazing, and we should be impressed. But when we look at them without the bigger picture, they lose meaning. Because we could ask ourselves, what is calming one storm when another storm will roll around? He forgives sins in that moment, but if the paralyzed man is like the rest of us, he goes on to sin later that day. Sickness healed and dead raised to life, but we know that that little girl didn't live forever. She would have grown old and died. See, if you take these moments out of the bigger picture, they lose purpose. Jesus just becomes a traveling healer, an incredible doctor from 2,000 years ago. It's a temporary fix. But these moments of Jesus' authority were never meant to be his main purpose. These moments are meant to point towards his purpose on the cross. Because you see Matthew build and build until you reach the climax of the cross, the moment where Jesus himself died and rose again, authority over death. And all of these moments, they shine a spotlight on that moment. And taking these moments out of the bigger picture has some dangers as well. Because you could misread this as, if I just have enough faith, Jesus could bring people back to life now. You might think back a few years, there's a church in the US, and they spent days praying for this a toddler of one of their pastors to be raised to life. She stopped breathing kind of suddenly one Saturday afternoon. And you can imagine the grief and desperation her parents were going through in that moment. So this isn't trying to tear them down. Like many of us, they were willing to do anything to bring their daughter back. But reading this section of Matthew by itself, without the bigger picture of the cross, could give you the idea that if you just have enough faith, God will raise someone back to life. But this isn't the right picture of Jesus or his purpose. See, he came to save on a much larger eternal scale. And it's not to say God can't raise people back to life, it's to say that that saving wasn't his purpose here on earth. To extend our life here. Jesus died and rose so we could be saved for eternity with God. We need to have a bigger picture to see an even greater saving moment than just our life here on earth. There's two things that I want to close kind of with today. And the first is that we have a desperate need for Jesus. Like the desperate father, like the desperate a woman. Facing sickness and death, they have nowhere else to turn but Jesus. He's the only way to have their script flipped. And then there's us, desperate. See, without Jesus, we're dead. We're separated from God by our own actions. Sin, the things we put in front of God, our lifelong sickness, it's killing us. And we don't have a way to flip our own script. See, death is coming and we can't stop it. Until Jesus gets to the cross. See, the death meant for us, he takes up and defeats. See, in 1 Peter 2 verses 24, Peter tells us about Jesus taking our sins up with him on the cross. And says there, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. The script is flipped. See, our desperate need becomes our hope. Death is defeated. We've been saved. See, if you know Jesus, your script has been flipped. And the question is, point number two, how do we respond to this? And the response that this should bring out is thankfulness. See, we don't see the immediate aftermath of what Jesus did, but we see a woman healed and a daughter raised to life. And there would be celebration and joy because of what Jesus did. And that joy and thankfulness, it leads to a kind of response in verse 26. Take a look at that with me. News of this spread through all that region. See, the response to what Jesus did was spreading the news. Jesus had raised a girl to life and the whole region heard about it. Do we have that same response to Jesus? See, we might have thankfulness, but are we responding by spreading the good news? Because if you know Jesus, you've been raised from death to life, just like that girl. So are you out there telling people, I've been saved? And sometimes we feel like it's hard to share it. Not because we want to hide it, but maybe because we're scared. We're scared of how people might kind of react to it. Like, I don't want to scare them off. Or maybe you're like me and sometimes you forget just how good that news is. You know, life gets in the way. Social life, work, family, friends. All that takes the front seat and the good news gets drowned out in the back. See, sometimes we're too scared to share the good news. Sometimes we feel we're too busy to share the news. But I want you to imagine you drop down dead right here and now and someone raises you back to life. How quickly would you tell people? How widely would you share that story? See, if you know Jesus, at some point, that story became real for you. And I want to give you two practical ways that you can share that good news. Number one, our Life and Explore series. And we run these each term so you can show people Jesus. And we're finishing up our current series just this week. But can you think of someone you can invite to the next series? Are there people in your life who you know need to know Jesus? It would be awesome if you take that next step and chat to someone from that team. Work out, what does it look like to bring someone along? How do I get them there? And number two, our Night of Carols. See, I think this is one of the easiest, most fun invites you can have. There's going to be heaps happening for your families. There's going to be food and entertainment. Are the people that you know that you could bring along to that night? Where they get to hear about the incredible good news of Jesus while having a sausage sizzle at the same time. See, there's just two places where you can show people Jesus. And for those in the room right now who might not have put their trust in Jesus yet, or you're hearing the good news right now, and I hope that you can see you have a desperate need for Jesus. See, you have a script that only he can flip. You might have heard these stories tonight and thought, wow, Jesus was a good man. He did good things. But I want you to take a step back from that. Realize these stories actually point towards a bigger moment where Jesus died and rose again to save those who put their trust in him. See, Jesus did some awesome things in his life, and they all point towards the cross, the moment where our desperate need turned into hope. It's a life-changing flip of the script. Hey, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the incredible things we saw him do, all the amazing healing that he did on earth. We thank you that that all points towards a cross, that bigger moment where he died for all those who trust in him. Father, we pray that you help us to see that these moments point towards that moment, that we might be thankful, that we might find joy, and that joy might lead to us wanting to spread the good news. I pray that you put that on our hearts today. I pray all this in your name for your glory. Amen.